As we think about popular names for this time of year, a lot of things come to mind. Maybe you thought of this one. How about this one? Maybe you were singing that in the shower this morning. Rudolph. Frosty. Yep. Some other ones that come to mind that you think about. The Grinch. Scrooge. We know that some people in our lives are rather scroogey at this time of year. Of course, Elf. Charlie Brown. That has to be a part of some people's Christmases. And then you have Bing, Bublé, and Berber. Or Bieber, I guess, whatever you want to say. I don't listen to them much. Berber, Bieber. All right. Well, all kinds of things come to mind at this time of year and all bring out memories of the past and as we were growing up. I couldn't help but think about a new one that maybe you have not thought about before. Tim Tebow. All right. Some of you might think he is the Savior. Well, as you watch the end of the games that he's been involved in. But he is not the Savior. One of the things I appreciate about Tim Tebow is him pointing to the Savior and reminding us of why he is doing what he is doing, and he's doing it for him. I'm going to make it very simple today. I'm going to leave you with two names that I want to have before you throughout this Christmas season. Jesus and Emmanuel. I want you to think about those. I want you to know exactly when you leave this place, you cannot leave the doors of this place without knowing what these names mean. They're very precious to us. If you're following in your Bible, Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, follow along as I read, or you can follow on the screen before you. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you would direct our thoughts now this morning from the hectic busyness of our Christmas season to the real reason why we celebrate. May our thoughts be on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think, first of all, of the name Jesus, from verses 21 and 25, it was very easy for Joseph and Mary. They didn't have to go through a registry, through a list, and say, "What should we call him?" The angel picked it out for them. His name would be called Jesus. Jesus is a Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, the basic meaning of which is Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves. So this morning, know that Jesus is Savior. Jesus is the one who saves. The name indicates his mission. Why did he come in the first place? He came with a purpose: to save us from our sins. What a wonderful thing it is to know that this was his mission, what he set out to do. It was not an accident. He was not taken by surprise when they came along and they captured him and then crucify him. It was all a part of his plan. He came to save us from our sins. He didn't come to save the people at that day, the Jews, from Roman oppression. He really, in a sense, did not come to give us a better life so that we could live better, even though that is definitely a byproduct of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, we read in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more," what? "Abundantly." So we know that that is definitely what is a side benefit, a wonderful sideline of being a Christian. But he came to save us from our sins. That was the main mission that he had. Not to affirm that you're okay. We were not okay. We are not okay without him. We need him as our Savior. This is found throughout all the New Testament. You cannot miss this. It's not just in an isolated passage somewhere. It's not just in the Matthew account. Follow along as I read some of these verses throughout Scripture. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." John 3:17, we often will quote 3:16, but the verse right after that wonderful verse is, "But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." In John 4, as we read that glorious account of the Samaritan woman as she meets the Savior at the brightest part of the day, hoping that no one else would come and see her, she was embarrassed with her wicked life. The Samaritan said of this woman and to this woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you have said," as she went back to her village and told about Jesus. "But now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." John 12:47, "As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it." 1 Timothy, Paul goes on and continues this theme. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And he adds, "Of whom I am the worst." Here was a man that had persecuted Christians. Here was a man that had consented to the killing of Christians. And as he was on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden he met the Savior. It transformed his life. And he was overwhelmed with his own sinfulness and overwhelmed with God's grace that he saved him. 1 John, John writes in chapter 4:14, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." All throughout the Scriptures we read that. The question is, though, so how, what does this mean? Or does this mean that everyone is automatically saved? If He came and His mission was to save, are all of us automatically saved? Class, what's the answer? No, absolutely not. In fact, in the Bible it says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants everyone to accept His Son, but the reality is there are many who reject Him. There may even be here someone here today who still says, "I do not believe." I hope today will be the day of salvation for you. People need to recognize their sinfulness and their need for the Savior. Jesus didn't come because we were healthy and say, "You're healthy, no need." He came to the sick. He came to those that were sick with sin, and they needed a Savior. They need to put their trust in Him. C.S. Lewis has said this, "Christianity has no message for those who do not recognize or realize they are sinners." In fact, you remember he talked to the Pharisees and he reminded them. He says, "I didn't come to heal the healthy, I came to heal the sick." And so here is the reminder that Jesus came to save sinners. Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Acts 15:11, "No, we believe it through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are." In Acts The jailer, as he heard Paul and Silas singing praises at midnight, and all of a sudden an earthquake took place and all the jail doors went open. The jailer came to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Romans 10, again, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As Savior, Jesus came to set us free from sin. Someone has said the following. I don't know who exactly we can attribute it to, but it is wonderful. It's a wonderful reminder this morning. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But the reality is, our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. So Jesus means what, class? Savior. What a glorious truth that is. Second, Emmanuel. In verse 22 it says this, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And it's quoting from Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, obviously, it's already been pointed out in the verse itself. It means God with us. This name emphasizes his person, who he is. God is not just out there in space, uninterested and uninvolved. What a message we have for us this morning, that Jesus is involved in our lives. He came down into our lives, into our midst, and he wants to provide for us. Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I won't go into great length at all, but I encourage you to look back at the context in which that prophecy was given. The prophet Isaiah is going up to a wicked king, King Ahaz, who's ready to align himself up with a wicked nation against Israel and Syria. And he's afraid about the kingly line being protected. He's afraid about these enemies that are going to come in. They've already warned that they're going to overrun them. And he's concerned, he's worried, he's trying to figure things out. And Isaiah gave this prophecy as an encouragement. He said, you know what, don't worry about those enemies. Trust God. Don't worry about the kingly line. God will protect it. The line of David will be provided for. God will protect it. Trust him. And he said there will be a child that will be born. Isaiah was going to have a child. And this child, before it came old enough to tell the difference between right and wrong, those nations that were threatening and warning and this King Ahaz was worried about, they would be defeated. They would be devastated. Well, that initial prophecy came to place, but we know ultimately that prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. That was a glorious prophecy that was given. Again, a confirmation of God's word and his reliability. This name was used more as a title or description than as a proper name. In other words, they didn't go around saying, "Hey, Emmanuel, come here." No, they said, "Hey, Jesus, Jesus." But it was a reminder of who he was. Emmanuel, God with us. This answers the question of who Jesus really is. It gives us his identity. He is God in flesh. I don't know if you even thought about that. You've sang the songs, Emmanuel, for a long time, for many years. But did you realize it's God in flesh? Jesus is God, fully God and fully man. We want to know that God has come down to where we are, that He knows where we live, that He knows our name, that He cares about us, that He has walked in our shoes. We want to know that we are not alone. In fact, this morning, maybe you have come with a lot of concerns on your heart and you feel all alone. You wonder if God really knows about what's going on in your life and the pressures and the difficulty you're facing. Well, don't worry about that any longer. He came down. God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's a glorious Christmas truth. God with us. He is God come down from heaven in the form of a tiny baby boy. Theologians call this the incarnation, a term that means to take on human flesh. To be born as a human, John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us, tabernacled among us. And the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was God Himself, wrapped in human flesh. Dr. Wolverd, a former president of Dallas Theological Seminary, said this: "The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the central fact of Christianity, upon which the whole superstructure of Christian theology depends. The whole essence of Christianity is this: it's based on the fact that Jesus is God in human flesh." That's a wonderful truth. If you can believe that God was born in human form from the womb of a virgin, you'll not have trouble with His walking on water later on in the Gospels. Compared to the incarnation, healing the sick, raising the dead isn't hard to believe either. And the resurrection itself makes perfect sense once you understand who Jesus really is. See how important this is? When you get a handle on who He is and accept that fact, you don't have so many struggles with His miracles and the glorious resurrection. God in flesh. A song that you have sung over and over again. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. We conclude with these thoughts. Let us remember the Christmas names that really ought to be remembered this Christmas. I won't remind you of all those other ones. You remember those too well already. But remember the ones we've talked about today. Jesus means Savior. He came to save us from our sins. His mission was to save. That's what He did. Trust in Him. Thank Him. Live for Him. And second, Emmanuel, God with us. This is His identity, who He is. God took on flesh. He walked among us, the God-man, and He can sympathize with what's going on in your life. Your hurts, your struggles. He says, come to Me. Talk to Me about it. I can relate to you. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the names Jesus and Emmanuel that remind us of Your mission and who You are. And God, I pray that this might be a great reminder and that we would have our attention drawn to where it should be at this time of year. Thank You again for the children. Thank You for the program that reminds us so much of this season and why we celebrate. May we not be afraid to tell everyone Merry Christmas in celebration of our Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.